If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what brought the spirits back into a formerly haunted house that went dormant for a very long period of time? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And that it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the program and you want to see it stay afloat, well then, hey, please become an EPP, an extra podcast person. That's a supporter of our show. You do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. When you do that, you sign up. You keep us on the air. You get all the bonus extras. So many great things there for you. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's Tony and Carol Hughes on today's episode of the program. And what's going on in your world?
Well, you know, not a whole lot, Tony. Tomorrow, as you know, In our life at this time is New Year's Eve. So I'm so excited.
Yes, as am I.
I'm sure it's going to be a big-ass party. and I'll probably go to a party with like 100 of my friends And stuff. So it's just the weirdest damn year. I just want to get to midnight tomorrow night and see it become a new year. And then I'm like, thank God I lived through this one. But one of my friends put up this meme the other day, and it was like, this picture of Joan Crawford, you know, she's super dramatic and she's clutching this something. Mm-hmm. And she's got this dramatic, like, oh my God, look on her face. And it's like 2021 is really like 2020 WON, like 2021.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, that was the last thing I needed to see.
Yeah.
So I'm like, shh. We're going into 2021.
Yeah.
Now I can't think of it differently now that I've seen that.
I'm looking forward to a new year, but I'm not expecting a whole lot for a while. I'm just hoping that things eventually get somewhere, with everything that's going on in our world and our lives and such. But I'm curious to see Anderson Cooper and... Andy Cohen doing the New Year special. I like the CNN one is what I watch. It's gonna be weird, and I know this is airing after New Year's, but seeing the place empty, I don't know how this is gonna be pulled off, but I'm hoping maybe a hologram of Dick Clark will appear at some point in the evening, but I don't know. And by the time this airs, everyone will know what it was like and they'll go, yep, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Our first story that we got for you today says our story starts 4 years ago. My wife and I were trying to sell our house. Just gotten pregnant after 7 years of trying. We're out looking for houses and we came across one that seemed to please us both. It was a big house for us. We were used to 900 square feet and this was 2000. So we made an appointment to view it. We loved it. After we left to view the house, my wife told me that's a house that I want. She said I felt like she had been there before. So we got the house, moved in, and by now she's 4 months along. Things are going well. Then doors started opening by themselves. Lights would flicker through the whole house, footsteps going down the hall to the bedroom. And then one night, I started seeing a shadow figure at the top of the stairs watching my wife and me. This went on for months. I ignored it. I thought I just was just tired and I was seeing things. And one night, me and my wife saw it together. She said, "You see it too much." "Huh?" I said. I was playing dumb. She said, "Someone is standing at the stairs." I said, "Yeah, I saw it." It went on for a while. Then a lady came into our shop and said, "Hey, my ex-husband built y'all's house back in the late 60s, and then we swapped houses with the old owner so they could be the next to their kids. But the old lady that lived there said someone was in that old house there. They all thought she was crazy, and she had dementia, like her husband, who had passed away years before she did." My wife and I just looked at each other. She started saying some of the stuff that had happened there. It was the same thing that was happening to us. They also said, "It'd be interesting to see a baby brought home to that house." My daughter was born. We brought her home. Everything went quiet for 2 years. We also always noticed my daughter looking at things through the house. I gave my daughter a bath one night and she pointed to a doorway and said, "Daddy, who is that scared?" And brushed it off. Then my wife's keys started going missing and our wedding rings were all found outside. Finally, I called a paranormal team because my family just thought I was going crazy. So they came out, went over everything, and they said they'd be back with more equipment. They were getting ready to leave when we heard a loud bang from upstairs. We all went to investigate the vacuum cleaner, and the dog kennel had been dragged into the hallway. They told us not to talk about their return to the house. They tried to cleanse the house multiple times. It didn't work. We would have toys going off by themselves, coming home numerous times to the front door open to the house. I even had marks on my back. My daughter got locked in her bedroom, numerous salt lines broken. I blocked most of this out because it was bad, but I still remember our last night there. We were lying in bed, then the dog started going crazy. My wife said, "Go see while they're barking at me." I said, "I really don't want to, but I guess I'll try." So I go downstairs. They're all in their kennels, just barking and growling. So I say, "Will you please leave us alone?" I went to the bedroom to lay down. My wife said, "What was it?" I said, "Nothing." Then I heard a little girl laughing. I listened. I listened in the house that next morning and heard nothing. We sprayed everything with holy water and moved out. It sold in 3 days. It's almost a year ago. We all sleep better now that we're out of that house. It sounds like a lovely place.
You know, I was convinced that they were going to move out and then you were going to say, "And nothing changed." So I'm really happy that, you know, someone else has to deal with that shit and they're out. Because mm-hmm. That was a lot.
It is a lot. Is there any guilt, though, that one would feel with leaving a house like that? And let's say the next family that's going to come in is another, you know, couple with a small child. Would you go and say, "Hey, I just want you to know the reason we're selling this house is because it's terrified my wife and my small child, but you guys enjoy"? Or would you just slowly go away?
Would the average person?
Is it different? What would you do?
I would absolutely tell somebody.
You would? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I am the most honest person you'll ever meet. And I would see that little baby. And I was like, "You can't live here."
Yeah.
"You can't.
Get out.
There's going to be some like super paranormal person who loves this shit that will buy this house."
Sure.
But, you know, even this house that I live in now, mm-hmm. like, I don't have like a weird feeling about it. And I didn't. When I walked in, I was like, "I want to live here." And I knew that. But I didn't really know how to ask the girl who owned it, like, "Hey, is it weird or haunted or anything?"
Yeah.
You know? But I kind of felt like I had to.
And her response was?
So I actually, at the closing, I had signed all the documents and everything, all the paperwork.
So you could show her that you were serious and you're not going back on it. You just wanted to know.
And so I asked her, I said, do you have any weird vibes? Is there any? Because I said, I felt when I went in there, I felt just a lot of peace. And like, I really loved it. And she goes, oh, you're going to love it. And she goes, there's nothing like that going on in the house. Like, okay, thank you for reading into my question. Because I just, you know, I was like, shit, what if I buy it and it's haunted? You and I talked about that on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just would have a real problem selling a house to somebody, especially if they had a child.
Have you ever done the died in house search?
No, I don't want to know.
I should just buy it and then send it to you in the mail with an unmarked, you know, who it's from. You open it.
No,
and
no, no. There's a little bit of dive. Like I did a little bit.
Yeah.
And it kind of said who's lived here.
Mm-hmm. How old is the property? How old is the house?
1940.
Okay. Well, so you got some odds there that maybe at some point some old person maybe just, you know, passed there, but not always.
I mean, it is 80 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... yeah.
Or a triple homicide.
That.
You know, you never know.
Have a great little house.
A great little house that was also the site of a quadruple homicide in 1972.
No, I live across the street from David.
No.
David knows everything about the neighborhood. He would have told me something.
It turned
he
out.
He knows everything about David, the neighborhood.
David was the killer. And now is released on a technicality and still lives in the neighborhood. Watch as Carol and him get together for a barbecue to relive old memories and bring up old spirits.
It would be something like this. Remember that one time, David? What?
That one time. You killed 8 people in my bedroom with a hatchet.
Did what? You killed those 8 people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. That's right. It's so funny every time I talk to him.
Is this potato salad?
He says something across the street and I answer him and I'm like, I got to walk over to David's house.
Well, it's good having good neighbors.
He's great.
Yeah.
And they're super about the COVID. And so it's like, you don't have to get too close. So he's not going to bug me too much. But if there's a package on my porch too long, he'll come and get it. So that's kind of the guy you want.
Yeah.
He told me everybody, like, okay, so these people lived in this house, and then these people lived there, and then the girl you bought it from lived there. And then next door told me all about that house. And then the house here, blah, 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 blah. They know everything. My neighbor had to go to the hospital, and they came over to tell me. And I'm like, I don't even know her. And I'm like, oh.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
What room? I'll send you Skittles. Yeah.
I was like, as a neighborhood, do we send stuff to people? I mean, I'll give you $10.
Now it's going to be the neighborhood.
But really, it's a really good neighborhood.
Good. Well, that's good.
Other than the occasional gunshot. But, you know, really, I think it's more. That happens in every neighborhood.
Exactly.
Right?
Mr. Robinson's neighborhood. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, next letter says, hey guys, I've been listening for about a year now. Really appreciate all the work you put into the show. It's going to be a cluster of semi-short stories from throughout my childhood. Here we go. The very first memory of the paranormal I remember happened when I was about 12. I was staying at my grandma's house during the summer and I was up very late watching TV. I got hungry, grabbed the last bagel she had, and I brought it to the downstairs living room. Bag and all. I set it down and was messing with the remote when something got my attention. Just a feeling of not being alone. I looked down to the arm of the chair to see a full handprint being pressed into the bag. Remember, it was a large hand, most likely an adult. I left the bag there, turned off the TV, and ran to my room to lock the door. And yes, I did eat the bagel. The next story is a 2 or 3-parter. I was probably around the same age, 12-ish. The layout of our second floor is my mom's room, then mine, then my stepdad's. Hers is furthest from the bathroom. And it's right next door to it. I was lying in bed and I see what I guessed was my mom book it down the hall. I hear the bathroom door open and shut. Maybe 10 minutes later, my stepdad came in my room and asked, "Why are you up? It's too late to be making noise." I responded that I had not been out of bed. He checked to see if my mom were up, but she was dead asleep, which would not have been the case because she had trouble falling asleep due to a restless leg. As a side note to this, the bathroom door never opened back up. Only the three of us had a few pets ever stay in the house, and no one was there. Second part of this, not too long after, maybe a year or so later, my parents and I were looking at pictures on my mom's laptop when she came across a heavily distorted but very visible, mostly black image of a girl with long hair. It was not me, for a few reasons, 98% of the time. I put my hair in a ponytail and there were no pictures of me on the laptop at the assumed age of the group of the girl. I immediately asked my mom, "Do you think that's the girl that went to the bathroom?" She did not remember what I was talking about, so I reminded her of the last story. She had a sudden look of shock. Later, when we tried to find the picture, it was gone. No one would have deleted it, as we wanted to look at it later. A third part, years later, I must have been around 18. We were reminiscing about these stories, and my stepdad chimes in. As a side note, he has never talked about the paranormal other than in the context of these stories, so I was incredibly surprised. He told us that before they started doing renovations on the attic, he got a feeling of dread. So he went up and told whatever might have been there that he was sorry about changing the space, but they're going to fix it up for them so it's more comfortable and he'd appreciate it if they understood. After that, he never had that feeling again. The next story happened when I was about 17. I had been with my then boyfriend for about 2 years, so I finally opened up to him that I have a sense of the paranormal. He was totally okay with it and asked me if I'd try to feel if his grandma or grandpa were at their family cabin where we stay. I told him I'd try but could not guarantee anything. Well, a few weeks later, as we get there, he's showing me around. It's a 3-level building. I get to a random room. It's not decorated in any way, but I immediately ask him, "Is this your grandma's room?" He said yes and explained to her as his grandpa sleeps in separate rooms. Did not feel malicious, but I did not want to stay there. I also worked at a Walgreens a few years ago and walked every day because I did not have a car at the time. I volunteered to come into work early because it was Halloween and I was allowed to dress up. Left home that morning around 3:30. I always look around when I'm alone for safety, and the only other person was about 4 blocks back. As soon as I turn my head forward, I hear heavy running footsteps coming up from behind me. I scream and turn around, but no one is there. Even the person from before is gone. I work in an assisted living on the overnight shift, so I have more stories. Maybe I'll send them in another time. Thanks for reading. So, a lot of stories there. What stood out to you?
The one with the grandparents.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because if you do pick up on stuff, of course you want to get out of there. You're not going to sleep with your boyfriend at the grandparents' house with them watching you all night.
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
Like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you can't like really let loose and have a romantic evening with your boyfriend if you feel like his grandmother's watching you.
But she'll be real quiet, though. She promises. She's just going to sit over there. She's just going to watch. May do a little videotaping, but that's all she's going to do. So you'll never notice
it. Hey, baby, what's the matter? Well, your grandma's watching us.
Like, what? That'd be the weirdest thing.
Yeah, ever. So I totally get why you wouldn't want to stay there. That would be weird.
Pervy grandma. And it's something... That's the horror movie. It's like everybody, it's like the story of a house that is haunted by a pervy grandma. And it's just all these stories of being very uncomfortable where, and pervy grandma like just showing up at the most inopportune times.
And it could be pervy grandma with her sister, judgy Aunt Nancy. And so it'd be like, oh, you're going to put your glass on the table without a coaster? Of course you are.
Do you respect wood?
You probably don't know what coasters are.
Yeah.
It's like, who said that? Who said that?
Did that come through the bed?
Judgy Aunt Nancy.
I don't know if it's a feel-good comedy or like a really dark story. It's like you kind of can go either way. I like the Walgreens parking lot. I could just picture that and just the creepiness and the weirdness of that hour in the morning and being out in a public place like that that's normally bustling, and then it's just the quietness of night, but any noise is going to get your attention. And then to have that feeling and hearing someone literally running up right behind you and you're ready to, you know, fight or flight right there, and boom, there's nothing there. I
even get that feeling too, where you do have to be like, and all of us do it. Like when you park somewhere, it's like, ooh, you kind of, especially as a woman, you always are aware of your surroundings, especially at night. Yeah. And the fact that you are aware of that, yet that happens.
Yeah.
Freak me out.
Yeah, because she was doing all the right things. And then boom, it's like that did it still wasn't fail proof because the ghost still did it. His little freaky out thing. Let's go to a caller. 855-853-4802. Hi, you are on the air.
Hello. This is Dana from Ohio. And I recently remembered, my sister reminded me of her interaction with a ghost when she was in high school. It was a pretty consistent thing with her. She first started noticing when she would go into her room that small things would be moved and that, you know, her doors or her drawers would be open. But she's generally a really kind of like unorganized, messy person, so she never really thought about it. One day she cleaned her room completely. Everything was put in its place and put together. But then she came back from work after doing that and her drawers were open and her closet was open. So the biggest thing that kind of sent her into the realization that there are individuals in her room in which she cannot see was, you know how like at prom they'll give you like favors or it's like, hey, this is your prom, have this thing. Well, hers was a gel candle in a like a flute, a champagne flute. It was bigger, we'll say it's like a goblet. But it was fancy, it was glittery, and it had this big gel candle in it. And she had it on top of her TV, and to set up her room, it's a rectangle shape, and at one end is her dresser, which is her TV on it, and at the other end is her bed. The foot of her bed is facing towards the TV. And it's offset from the TV. So on top of the TV was that candle, and somehow that candle made its way perfectly and neatly put into her bed, which she had freshly made prior to going back up there to go to sleep. So there's that. And then when I was a little girl, my mom would come and hang out with me because I had really bad sleep anxiety. We've moved into this new house, and I wasn't used to it, and I was a really anxious kid. And my sister, one night when she thought my mom came upstairs, she said goodnight, because she did every night when my mom would come up and hang out with me. And my mom didn't respond this time, and so she said goodnight, Mom, and she thought Mom was ignoring her. So she got up and she went into my room, which was directly next to hers, and my mom wasn't there. So I don't know if it was a astral projection or some strange doppelganger or something like that, but my sister swears to this day that she saw it. Well, have a good one, y'all. Bye.
Creepy stories. Thoughts?
Well, it was creepy, but I literally laughed out loud when she goes, hey, it's your prom. Here's your thingy.
It's true.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
It's your little bubble wand or whatever, you know?
Exactly. And I only went to one prom, so I don't remember getting a prom thingy, but yeah. I've heard of them before.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I totally get, like, that whole thing with, you know, like, hey, Mom, good night. Mm-hmm. And you know when you see something walk by.
Sure.
You wouldn't react to it if you wouldn't think your mom had just walked by.
Exactly.
Unless something like that happened. So, yeah, I totally, all that shit, I believe that.
It was a good story. Thank you for calling in and sharing.
Here's your prom thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I got anything out of that. I went to a prom once.
Did you go to a prom?
It's funny. My own prom, I had to go back to school for because I'd already moved away, was working in radio. And
of course you were.
Because I graduated at the semester of my senior year, and so I had to like come back to town. And anyway, I'd gone to a different prom a couple years earlier with a girl that I'd been dating. And the only weird prom story I have is she had borrowed the peoples that she was babysitting for, I think, Trans Am or something. And it was like a classic, an older one. And it was like this guy's baby. And I thought I was going to be real cool. And I took the radio station vehicle to prom.
Of course. Because nothing says you're cool.
Like Sunny 97.
Radio station
an adult contemporary radio station that ran Delilah.
probably a van at the time.
Exactly. Actually, it was a Durango, I believe. I think it was like the very first year of the Durango. Anyway, I'm sitting at the turn and this car is in front of us that has her friends in. And on the incoming lane that we're waiting to stop traffic at so we can turn, comes this old VW van, like lime green. And what happens? Her friend turns directly in front of it.
No.
Yeah. And this car goes spinning up the hill towards where the venue is. And, you know, we get into the parking lot and, you know, we run over there. And luckily everybody was okay. But that car, I think, was probably totaled.
Oh, man.
But it was, that was the excitement of that prom night. Yeah, it's good time.
And it's like, yeah, you know, I gotta go. I've got the radio station vehicle.
I gotta get Delilah back,
and I've gotta get it back.
Yeah,
to the radio station I work at, and I'm only 18.
Yeah,
I have a full time job / career.
That one I was actually.
So here's my extra prom thingy.
I was 16 at that one because that was when I was younger.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I was 16. That was that one.
I should have known better. Of course you weren't 18.
It's better I wasn't like, I was 12. I went just like Dookie Hauser-ing it up, you know? No.
It's like ever since I think I met you and you were like 30.
No, you met me when I was
25.
No, 26, I believe.
Okay. And even then you were like 36 years old.
No, so that would make me now like 50 something, right?
Not like you looked 36 years old.
No.
You just acted like you were.
Sure. Yeah. I was 26, I believe, when I met you. So it's just crazy to think about that's been that long. But let's go to another caller at 855-853-4802.
Hey, y'all. My name's Christina Cook. I'm from the Searcy area of Arkansas. Just started recently listening to your show, so I figured I'd call in and tell you my story. So a little background. My dad definitely had paranormal activity happen to him when he was younger. Same with my mom. She claims to have definitely had an experience where her father came back and to say goodbye is what she thinks it was, because she saw like light coming in through a window and shining on a wall, but it was coming from an area that there was no window, and she had called out, "Daddy, is that you?" And whenever she did, she got a whiff of his cologne, and so she knew it was him coming back to say goodbye. Also, whenever my brother was younger, he would talk and play with a little girl. My mom never saw her, but she definitely had heard her before. And so we definitely had paranormal activity in our old home. But my story is, it started back when I was like 14, I think, is when I had my first experience. I had gone outside to feed the dogs and I see a hand grab the door and back door and pull it shut. And our back door is really hard to close, so I was really confused. When I came in, asked my mom, I was like, "Hey, who just closed the back door?" And she was like, "No one's been through there." And I was like, "Yeah, someone did. I definitely just saw a hand close the back door. I left it cracked and now it was closed." She was like, "No, Christina, I'm telling you, no one went back there." And then a couple nights later, while I was in the shower, I had some music playing. I see this black figure, like, go across the bottom of the curtain. And my mom and sister had weren't home, but my brother was. So I had figured, you know, maybe my mom and sister had came home early, and it was her trying to see, you know, what I was listening to or whatever. So I said, hey, and the figure stopped and moved back towards the door. I looked out the curtain, and I seen the same hand that closed the bathroom door. I was like, what the heck? After I get out, I look, and my mom and sister are both still gone. I asked my brother, I was like, hey, had you been back towards the bathroom at any point? He was like, no, I've been in the living room this entire time. I was like, oh, okay, that's strange. And then I really didn't have anything happen to me between then and when I started college last year. But last year, while I was in my dorm room, I was on the phone with my friend, and I was telling him about my ghost, because anything time something paranormal would happen or anything, I called my ghost George. So I was telling him, you know, about George and my experiences, and as I'm telling him, the lights I have hanging on my wall fell, and those lights had been up all semester, never fallen. And I was freaked out. I was like, what is going on? And so I jumped up, freaked out. I turned on all my lights and said, I'm not dealing with this. But yeah, that's about George. Oh, actually, this year, I moved in with a friend in an apartment, and we both had heard things moving around at night. Like, we heard this sound like furniture moving. We've heard the door unlock whenever neither of us are in there, the living room, to unlock it. We've heard, like, footsteps in our hallway, and just, like, really creepy things. And we're so neither of us like being here alone. But yeah, I think maybe it's Jordan who followed me to college, but I'm not sure. Another thing, my cat, Nico, he died when I was 16 from Lyme disease. He was my baby. It was so sad for me whenever he passed. But ever since, I would feel like a cat jumping up on my bed, and I would look to see if maybe it was one of our other cats or something, and there'd be no cat there. And Nico always slept with me. So I would think it's him jumping out on bed to lay with me, because anytime I had a hard day or I wasn't in a good mood or something, he would always come to my room and cuddle with me and lay there with me. And it's on those hard days now that I feel that. And so it makes me really feel like it is him still there with me. But yeah, that's my story. I hope to hear it on the air. Have a great day. Keep doing what y'all are doing.
Thank you for your call and sharing those stories with us. What's your thoughts?
Man, I would hate that. Like, you move away to college to, you know, that's your first big get out on your own thing, and your damn ghost follows you to college. Like, that ain't right. You know, and then that is weird, though, when you're telling this story and then something like that happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think I have a ghost. And then, oh, I mean, that's kind of the exclamation point.
Yeah, it's like it's the ominous type thing. Like, oh, my God, is this really what that is? And yeah, it is what it is.
Because that's like the stuff that would happen in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the cat thing, you and I have talked about that. Yeah. You've had that experience before.
I have. Yeah.
And, you know, there's just a very distinct feeling when your cat jumps up on the bed.
Mm-hmm. There is.
I have two of them that all night they're up and off the bed, I swear.
I've had the distinct feeling where it's doing not even just like jumping on the bed, but I've felt like the, you know, the cat mashed potatoes thing where they push their paws back and forth.
Yeah.
And because my cat would always do that. And then after it passed away and I didn't have a cat that was sleeping in my room anymore, I would still wake up sometimes and I'd feel a cat jump up. And then I'd feel the back and forth. And then I'd wake up like, wait, the cat's dead. And the other cat didn't come in there.
Distinctive feeling.
It was. And I don't think I was dreaming when I look back on these things. I was like just laying there, you know, kind of out of it that I wasn't recognizing that there shouldn't be a cat jumping on the bed. But I think part of me was also, you know, thinking, well, maybe the cat we have now somehow got in the room and jumped up and just was lazy. But then you take him on, and you're like, wait a second. And you look up and there's no cat. But yeah. And I didn't think to like look for an imprint or anything like that back then. But yeah,
there's been stories. Other people have said the same thing.
It's the energy, you know. Everything energy doesn't die, and I would not be surprised if that's what it was.
And if her ghost could follow her to college, certainly your cat could too.
Exactly. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Please become an extra podcast person. An EPP is what we call them. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, classic episodes. It's all there, all commercial free. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.